Yeah, hi there. This is Michael, and I'm with Andre, right? Okay. So you had some over some questions about your language study, and you're asking me about you want to get a 100 on the TOEFL, right? And your question is, based on your English abilities now, what are some things that you can do that can help you improve your overall score, right? Okay. Step one, have you ever taken the TOEFL IBT? Okay. Now, first of all, in order to figure out what you need to do to get 100, if you take a TOEFL or a practice TOEFL, it gives you a score, and the official TOEFL gives you what's called a score report. And the score report takes all the different parts of the test, and it tells you what you're doing well or not so well in each of those areas. And that kind of gives you a general idea of what your weaknesses are. But generally, from your experience, what are the weak parts of the test? We have reading, we have listening, we have speaking and writing. What do you think is the hardest part for you? Okay. Okay, so let's talk about that for just a few minutes. Now, the next thing is on the writing, there's two different parts to the writing test. We have an independent writing task, in which case you have about 30 minutes to write a 350-word response to a question based on your personal experience. It might say, what are the qualities of a good roommate, for example? And then it might say, use specific examples and reasons to support your point of view. So that's one type of writing task for the TOEFL IBT. The second one is the integrated writing task. On the integrated writing task, you have to read a passage, you have to listen to a lecture, and typically the purpose of the writing is to explain how the information in the listening relates to the information in the writing. So that's what's called the integrated type writing task. Yet you have to show that you can connect the two sources together. Okay, so there are some things that you can do that can help you get better in those areas, but I'll be honest with you, without having any TOEFL results, I can't, for example, I can't really diagnose accurately what your weaknesses are until I actually see a TOEFL test. Because if you take the TOEFL, then you get a score report, then the score report tells exactly what your weaknesses are in the test and where you need improvement. And that determines a lot of the things that you're going to do right now. Anyway, though, to prepare for the writing section, there are a number of things that you can do that can make your writing better. First of all, let's talk about the integrated writing section. Remember, you have to read a passage, you have to listen to a lecture, and then you have to write about the relationship between the two sources. So, a good activity would be read newspaper articles. You can read chapters in academic textbooks, things of that nature. It's important to practice reading those things. As you read them, write down the most important points and try make sure that you try to use your own words. This is very summarizing, correct. Summarizing is very, very important for the integrated writing task. Remember the summary, you identify the main point and the most important supporting points of the passage. You get them down in note form. And once you've got them in note form, then you practice writing a summary. Now, when you're writing this summary, it's usually best to write it from the point of view of the writer, not from your point of view. So you're not saying, I think that. You're not using I at all, but you're focusing on the reading passage states. It also says another important idea mentioned is so you want to make sure the writing is framed from the author and the reading passage's perspective and not your own. That way that we know that this is not you saying these ideas. These ideas are coming from the reading passage. So by reading articles and things and then practice writing or do the note taking and then writing the summaries, that's good. Now, secondly, another thing that you can do is find listening type materials, especially listening things which are academic in nature. You can find these kinds of sources on the internet. Particularly, there's a website, it's called www.npr.org. It's NN as in Nancy, NP as in public. It's National Public Radio. Right, so it's npr.org. On that website, you hear a lot of academic, business, current event type listening materials, and you practice listening to those things, and you can listen to them as many times as you want, but as you're listening, practice writing down the notes, the main points of the passage you're listening to. Try to identify the main point of the listening, the most important supporting points, and once you've got that down in note form, you do the same thing that you did with the reading passages. You practice writing a summary of what you have listened to. And this also helps you to improve your integrated writing skills. But that's not enough, I'll be honest with you, because you're looking for 100 on the TOEFL. Just because you can summarize a reading passage and just because you can summarize the listening passage does not mean you'll get 26 points out of 30, because to get 26 points out of 30, you must integrate the two. You have to combine the two sources. And by combining them, you express the relationship. Okay, let me give you an example. Let's say that you read a reading passage that was talking about a professor's research about a Native American group of people who live in Arizona. And the reading passage was discussing the professor's research and maybe a particular theory that the professor has come up with based on the findings after studying this group. This would be something that you might see in an anthropology class. So the reading passage discusses the professor's interactions with this group, and then it discusses the theory that this professor has come up with based on the research, right? So that's your reading passage. Now, right after that, you'll now hear a lecture on the TOEFL. But the lecture usually will be different. It'll be somehow different from the information you just read. So let's say the lecture, it discusses some problems with the theory that this professor came up with. Do you see that? Do you see the relationship? So the lecture maybe disagrees with the information in the reading passage. So when you're writing, you have to come up with an introduction that will integrate these two sources. So you might say something like, the reading passage discusses a professor who did research and a particular theory that the professor discovered as a result of the research, and the listening passage casts doubt or questions the particular theory that the professor came up with. So you have to do that in the beginning. That's the very beginning, the introduction of the writing, and that's how you integrate. Now, once you get to the reading, to the next paragraph, you simply write about the most important points of the reading passage. And then when you get to the listening, it's also very important you make a transition. You might say something like in the third paragraph, despite the professor's theory, which a lot of people have accepted as valid, according to the listening passage, there are some possible problems with this theory. And then you state what those problems are according to the listening passage. You do that, that's 26 or higher. That's going to be a very good score. But see, assuming your language is good, assuming your grammar is good, assuming vocabulary is good, assuming all those things, a lot of students, they have really, really good writing skills, but because they don't integrate the two sources, their score is below 26. You see what I'm saying? That's the best tip I can give you, is make sure you integrate these two ideas. Now, the next type of writing assignment, this is called the independent writing task. For some students, they hate it because you have to imagine. You don't have a reading passage, you don't have a lecture, you don't even know what your question is going to be until you get there. You show up and it says, some people like to study in the libraries. Other people prefer to study at home. discuss the advantages and disadvantages of each study system, and then explain which one you prefer and why. In that case, you just have to think of your own personal experience, and you have to think of some ideas to support what you want to say, and you go from there. Be careful, though. The independent writing task, you have to make sure you understand what the question is. For example, the last question I gave you, it says, discuss the advantages and disadvantages of each type of study system, then indicate which you prefer and why. So first of all, you have to talk about studying in a library. You have to talk about what's good and bad. Then you make a transition to studying at home. You discuss what's good and bad about studying at home. And then you discuss your own opinion. But be careful. You don't want to express your own opinion in paragraphs 2 or 3. You should wait until the last paragraph to discuss your own opinion based on what the requirement is. So what you want to do is, for the independent speaking task, make sure that you understand first what the writing task is, and make sure that your writing clearly addresses that speaking task. That's very, very important. So that would be a good suggestion. Now, generally, with the independent writing task, you're looking for approximately 350 words. That means a lot of good examples, good details to support your generalizations. The integrated writing task isn't as many words. You're looking for maybe 200, 250 approximately. So the independent writing task, you might have 4 or 5 paragraphs, as opposed to the integrated writing, you might only have 3 or maybe 4 paragraphs at the most. So these are two types of writing assignments that you're going to have on the TOEFL, but they are completely different. So to prepare for the independent writing tasks, it's actually pretty easy. You get some topics that relate to personal experience, and you practice timing yourself, and you practice writing, you know, maybe for 30 minutes, and you try to develop the idea over 4 or 5 paragraphs. The more practice, you know, you do, the better you're going to get. You actually, you know, score quite well. Exactly. You cannot leave out any aspect of the writing task, or your score is going to be very low. Well, wait a minute. Remember the question. The question says, it says, the question was, some like to study in the library, others prefer to study at home. So it said, discuss the advantages and disadvantages of each type of study system. Based on the question, you talk about the library, what's good and bad. Then you talk about studying at home, what's good and bad. And then you discuss your own opinion. You choose. When you get to the last part, don't continue talking about both. Make a choice and explain why you prefer that choice. The good thing is, it doesn't matter which one you choose. Makes no difference. Make a choice, which is your argument, and then support that with good reasons. You'll be fine. Now, here's another tip. This tip goes to the writing and the speaking sections. Make sure when you use grammar, you're in my grammar class, I can talk to you about grammar. Make sure that the grammar that you're using is not just basic grammar. You want to use a combination of basic and complex grammar in your writing and in your speaking. That means you'll be writing and speaking longer and shorter type sentences, not just shorter. You remember how we talked about, we have simple sentences, compound, compound, complex. We use a combination of these types of sentences in our writing. So those are some general tips in those areas. So those are just some basic ideas I would give you, you know, for writing, you know, to help improve your writing score. If you're interested in any TOEFL lessons, I don't have any lessons right now for integrated writing. However, I have TOEFL Writing Lesson 1, TOEFL Writing Lesson 2, a TOEFL writing lesson 3 are all to help you with your integrated writing. I mean, your independent type writing. If you want some examples of thesis statements and how to construct a thesis statement using various types of grammar structures, I have all that in those lessons at bettertoefelscores.com. They're like $4.99 or something. Very, very cheap, not very much. But those, I've had students who've taken my writing lessons on the internet. I had one student email me, she got 27 out of 30. But remember, though, your grammar needs to be pretty good. Your vocabulary needs to be pretty good. You need to know how to organize your ideas pretty well. And if you do all those things, you're going to get a good score. Yeah.
And the problem, like, in grammar, like when I study about English,
yeah,
grammar, usually the lectures are saying, like, how can we use, like, this topic? Maybe, like, you were saying that if we use adjective clause, we learn how to combine two ideas.
Yeah, right. Exactly. They're just telling you kind of what they are, but not how to use them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
Like direct speech. I know when there's a sentence like past tense, so I have to make it into the present perfect tense or past perfect tense. But they're not giving like you use a direct speech or indirect speech in this situation.
Yeah, right. Put it in the context, you're saying, right. Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Applicate that, what I have done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting confused. What I should do with the lecture said to my own, in my daily life.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
a big problem.
Yeah.
Like, I'm getting lost in somewhere place that how can I use this that I have and I don't know how to use it.
For example,
in what conditions that they're using this.
Yeah, right.
They're not explaining about it.
Well, let's go to present perfect for a second. So let me show you a trick. So if you look at, let's say present perfect tense for a second. We know that present perfect tense, when we use it, you refer to an event in the past, right? So if you're using your grammar and you want to refer to an action which has a beginning in the past, it has a clear beginning in the past. However, it continues up until the moment of speaking. For example, if I said, I have lived in San Bernardino for 10 years, it means that I moved to San Bernardino 10 years ago, which is what, 2000? Right? I moved here in 2000, and I've been here since 2010. You see what I'm saying? So the action begins in the past, but it has a current relevance to the present time frame. So if you're in writing or speaking, and you need to refer to that specific type idea, that's why we do it. Past perfect is different. But I can see how it's confusing. Let me show you this. The thing that confuses you maybe about past perfect is, let me give you two sentences here. So I said, I have lived in San Bernardino for 10 years, right? So that's what this is. That's this. Now if I said, I had left San Bernardino by 2005, is it still working? Okay, good. Still good here. Okay, so in this case, you have, I had left San Bernardino by 2005. You have two different actions in the past. Both of these actions have very clear beginnings and ends in the past. Remember, the present perfect continues up into the present time. Past perfect tense doesn't do that. So I had left San Bernardino by 2005. So you have 2005. And then you have the leaving. this action occurs before that action, and both actions actually occur in the past. So if you're talking about two events in the past, and you want the in the one event clearly happens before the other event, then you would use this idea here. So that would be, to me, that's the difference between your present and your past perfect tense. I think this type of verb, using these types of verb tenses, they're really common in writing or speaking when you're telling a story.
Yeah. Like,
definitely.
The confused things like present perfect and past tense. The past tense is that we have been that we have done it in the past.
And it doesn't have a connection to the present time frame. For example, I lived in San Bernardino in 2002. That just means in 2002 I moved there and I left there all during the same year. Interesting. I would say from a writing context, you got some good questions. The appropriate context... direct speech, reported speech, those kinds of things. When you're speaking, maybe, and you're telling a story, you might do that. You might use what's called quoting. You also can report, she said that she was too tired to go to the movies, so I told her that's no problem. Sometimes when we're speaking and telling stories, it would be appropriate for, let's say, quoted speech, quoted or reported speech, but also when you're writing and you're doing research papers and things. But this is what gets really tricky from a writing standpoint, because when you're writing and you're let's say you're summarizing reading passages and such, it's usually more appropriate to use the present tense when you summarize information. Typically, that's a better verb tense to use when you're writing like academic summaries and things. So all of those things that you're asking me, they're appropriate in various contexts. Passive voice is usually more formal. It's probably less common in speech, the passive voice, because you're not directly stating the action of it. So passive voice maybe, I'm not saying always, but it might be less common in conversational English. It's in passive speech, a lot of handbooks, writing handbooks, they discourage the use of passive voice because it's a little bit wordy and it's not direct. But nevertheless, in scientific writing and things, even in law writing, I'm telling you as a lawyer, right? Yeah, you'll see it. You'll see passive voice. Yeah, you definitely will. It's funny. People say don't use it, but yet when you get into complex type writing, you see it all the time. Yeah.
To reach a great English, like for TOEFL. But all the things that happened in the past, it didn't reach my TOEFL. Like I'm going to the English course. They said they have the splendid a student which graduated from the English course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I starting to get the English course in their place, and they didn't give like some anything. They just think about private things. That they don't have any main goal of my student. Like 100 student in a month. They have in 1 year about 80 students must graduated with the perfect English. They didn't have like main goals. They just think about the money. Then mm-hmm. when I realized that all the bullshit things that happened in Indonesia, and I tried to figure out with my parents.
Wow, interesting.
Why don't I take a decision going to England or United States
mm-hmm.
for my English?
Mm-hmm.
And they were agree with me.
Okay.
And they send me to United States. Now the problem is I don't have many information for how to develop my English. And my uncle said that if you want to start your master's degree in law, there's two options that you can
Yeah, right.
Like you get a TOEFL test.
Right.
You're going started a program. So the main thing is that.
Keep going. Keep talking. Yeah, yeah.
But if you saw that in UCR you have like law major, then you should be take an English program in UCR. Where, let's see the worst case that you cannot reach your TOEFL test, but they have like many level in the extended program. Because they have the English program, they will allow you if you notification that you can pass all the level that the UCR have it. They will give like okay. You
how many levels are there, by the way? How many do they have?
I don't know.
20
in UCR, but I think like 12.
12.
Yeah. They will give like Cal State give like you have to like test to know. Level that you were now, but the good things that if you done it all the level like 1 or 1.5 years,
yeah, yeah,
maybe you can pass all the level.
Mm-hmm.
You start to study that the second one way that you can use for your degree to take your degree. But if you want the shortcut, maybe.
You have no idea where you are right now, though. I can guess. You're probably based on your play score, your TOEFL score is probably around 50. So to get 50 points higher is that's difficult. That's hard to do. In a short time, it would probably the same time it would take you to go through the levels at UCR would probably be about the same time it would take you to pass the TOEFL with 100. It's probably about equal. But the difference is if you go to UCR, you got structure. I mean, you're not like at home trying to study TOEFL, but you're building your academic English abilities as you go through the different levels all the way up to level 12, right? If you just study for TOEFL at home and you get the 100, which is good, but maybe you haven't as much of an academic background. So you still could be missing, or it could be a little harder for you to adapt to a university setting if you studied just on your own. You could save yourself a lot of money, but how prepared would you be when you started your law degree? Because for you, as a lawyer, there's two really important things for you. Maybe three, but two for sure. Reading. You'll be doing an awful lot of reading all kinds of cases and case studies and court decisions and things. I mean, reading for you is going to be probably the most important thing you could work on right now is improving your reading. But also, you have a lot of writing. Lawyers are constantly writing things. They're writing reports and briefs and court summaries, and they're constantly doing that. They're reading and they're writing all the time. Both of these things are just everything that a lawyer has to do, focus in those two areas. Now, if you're a lawyer and you have to talk to a judge and all that, then the speaking comes in, you know, it becomes very, very important. But for sure, whatever you do, it's important to build those reading and those writing areas of your study to help prepare you for the goals, your academic goals, which is to be a lawyer.
Understand what English it should be past 100.
Right. Not necessarily, because you also have to understand the test a little bit. You have to understand the structure of the TOEFL and how to answer the questions and those kinds of things. So if you have really, really, really strong English skills, then you can spend time learning about the TOEFL and studying the TOEFL, and then you get your 100. Now, if your English skills aren't very good, and then you try to study TOEFL with the poor English skills, it's not going to help you very much. Your TOEFL score is not going to get as high as you would like. Because, like I was telling you guys, most of the students I interview, when we do like TOEFL interviews and things, most of them don't study TOEFL very much, but they do spend a lot of time reading and writing and speaking and listening. They read the newspaper. They watch TV. They do things like that. That's how they prepare for the TOEFL. And about 3 or 4 weeks before the TOEFL, they get a TOEFL book. And they read through the book, and they do some practice exercises and whatever. They understand the test. Then they take the test, bam, 104, 105, 106. They get a high score. Yeah. See, you're at the point where your English skills aren't that strong yet. So that's why it's going to be hard for you to prepare for this TOEFL, because you haven't really brought your English skills high enough to what they would need to be. But I don't know. What's your did I go over your placement results at the beginning of this quarter? Do you know what your placement results are? Here, let's take a look at this. Hold on a minute.